Welcome to this latest episode of Burnoutology with me, your host, Kelly Swingler, the Burnoutologist. Whether you are new or not, this is the uncut, unedited, unscripted podcast where we give ourselves permission to let go of perfectionism. So maybe there are oohs and ahs and ums and pauses. Maybe you'll hear the dog in the background. She's laying right behind my chair as I'm recording this today. Maybe she'll start scratching. Maybe she'll start snoring. Maybe she might even start barking. If she does, we'll quickly pause that until she stops barking. But uncut, unscripted, unedited. And today I want to talk to you about why it is important to be on your own road to recovery before you start coaching others through burnout. And I want to talk to you a bit today about all of the businesses that I started throughout 2015 and 2016 that surrounded my second period of burnout. I think if you said you've just, you know, you had one consultancy, which you walked away from, Kelly, and then you started doing this burnout work full time. Behind the scenes, there were, I couldn't even tell you how many businesses there were. But I want to talk to you about this today because I'm sure if you have experienced burnout, you will recognise what it is that I'm going to talk to you about today. And the reason that this is so important that we start on our road to recovery is because it is so easy to, I was going to say fall into the trap, and I think it is. I think lots of us can fall into the trap when we experience burnout of just thinking, we've lived it once, we know it, and therefore we can just start helping people. And a lot of that drive comes from, a lot of the reasoning behind that comes from the fact that we know how crappy, how debilitating, how hard, how lonely, how isolating, how difficult and challenging. We know all of that stuff about burnout, right? We've lived it, we've experienced it. And so for a lot of us, we thought, I don't want anybody to experience what I went through. So we come at it with the very, very best of intentions. We do it for the best reason. We want to stop anybody else ever having to experience what it is that we have gone through. But if we haven't started our own recovery during that process, a number of things can happen. We either start to use the coaching to help others as our kind of our own healing tool, right? We use it to discuss commonalities, or we use it to, oh my God, me too. Oh, let me tell you about my experience, right? We want to offload. Rather than it being about the client and it being about the coaching, it becomes almost kind of cathartic healing for us, right? Oh, yeah, like, because we then feel less lonely when other people are telling us their burnout story. So I've seen people fall into that trap many, many times before. And again, it's not to say we're not doing it out of heart, out of wanting to do harm. We're not doing it out of malice. It is just because you see other people experience it. You want to stop it. What we can also do, though, is almost fall into a kind of therapy trap. And coaching isn't therapy. We need to be very, very mindful of that. But also, if we haven't started our own, like our true own healing and recovery journey, it can be, you know, the coaching that we're then doing for others could be even more triggering for us. It could put us back into more of a stress state and mean that we are much more likely to fall into a burnout number two. But if we don't fully understand it and we haven't started some of that recovery journey, we could just be bringing clients into the same trap as we are. And when I say the trap, I want to, as I said, I want to talk to you about some of these examples or my own experience of kind of starting business after business after business. Before we get into that, though, let's have a little bit of an update for those of you that are regular listeners and have been here. I'm now in my, 11th or 12th day, I think, of doing stuff. So if you've been here for a while, you'll know that I had 6 weeks off to recover from a total hysterectomy. Today, as you are listening to this, I'm heading to Manchester to celebrate the book launch of my good friend Ian Pettigrew. His book, Hope Is a Strategy, go and buy it. You can get it on Kindle, you can get it off Amazon. Hope Is a Strategy by Ian Pettigrew. Go and buy the book. Ian listens to this as well. So, hey, Ian, shout out to you. Can't wait to see that. He probably won't be listening today because he'll be prepping for his book launch, but I do know that he will be listening. at some point to this episode. So today I'm travelling to Manchester. I'm staying over. I'm going to be driving home tomorrow. The son that I went away on deployment with last week, he's coming home for 2 weeks tomorrow. And when he gets home, we are going to, I think he's going to be here for a couple of weeks, actually. I'm just going to close my door. As we said, unscripted, uncut, unedited. A delivery has just arrived. I'm going to see if I can keep the dog calm so that she stops. She doesn't bark in the background. So uncut, unscripted, unedited. All of the noise you've got, she's stood up now, ready to pounce. But yeah, so my son comes home tomorrow. Home, not just back in the UK, back on land. So Manchester tomorrow, son comes home, Manchester today. Yesterday I was delivering the master burnout coach training. On Sunday I was doing some decorating. On Saturday we went to Winter Wonderland. On Friday I was sorting a few bits around the house. Thursday I was delivering training. On Wednesday I was participating in training. Tuesday, Monday and Sunday I was in Portsmouth with my son. On Saturday, I did a few bits around the house. On Friday, I did a few bits around the house. And I'd done a part-time-ish week at work. There is no way that even this time last year, I could have done that many days back to back to back. And the operation that I just had was needed as a result of 12 years of my health deteriorating every single day. But the illnesses became worse as a result of burnout. And it's only really that I'm now coming through the other side. I have still got some healing to go. I'm still not 100%. I know I've still got some healing to go. There are still some things that physically I'm finding quite difficult. Lifting anything really over kind of five kilograms, it's a little bit too much. And, you know, the doctor said, just pay attention to my body. It's all going to heal. But just keep taking your time, which is what I'm doing. I'm paying attention, listening to my body. I'm giving my body what it needs. I still need to be in bed reasonably early. But again, I'm a morning person. So an early night, early morning. That's how I start my day. But I didn't realise how bad I was. Like, I knew I'd been bad. I knew my health had been deteriorating for 12 years. I knew the last 12 months had been really bad. 12 years. Yeah, 12 months and 12 years. I knew had been really bad. But I didn't realise just how bad until I've now started to come through the other side. And this can be the same with burnout as well, which is why I say it's important for you to at least be on the road to recovery before you start coaching people through it. Because many of you, or some, you know, I know that some of you will have experienced burnout and immediately thought, right, I need to stop everybody else experiencing that again. And you go straight into coaching. I want to coach burnout because I want to stop anybody else ever having to experience what I've just been through. But if you haven't given yourself any time to recover, if you haven't allowed yourself to acknowledge just how bad it was or to identify the impact that it had on you, you could potentially be using the coaching to your own benefit and not for your clients. And what I mean by that is I've trained coaches that have come to train with me in the Burnout Academy and realised that actually they were almost using the sessions as a bit of a kind of cathartic healing process for them, because talking about it and hearing what their clients were experiencing was making them feel a little less alone. It was making them feel more understood. It was making them feel like, you know, they weren't the problem. We can also inadvertently then start to become therapists or counsellors in the space of coaching. We can start to, yeah, you know, mine was exactly the same. Let me tell you all about my burnout. And so we use the sessions almost to kind of offload everything that we were experiencing, thinking that that's going to help our clients as well. Let me tell you all about mine. Let me tell you all about mine. Now, I'm not going to say that I've never spoken to a client about my burnout experience. I have used snippets to explain why burnout does what it does to us, why it causes us to think and feel a certain way, the impact that it can have on us. I've used examples to show my clients that they are not alone. But if you haven't started your recovery and you go straight into coaching, what you're doing potentially is using that coaching as a healing for you so that you feel less alone, instead of using the coaching to allow your clients to feel less alone. And I know some of you are falling into the therapy trap, and some of you are falling into the counselling trap. Some of you are falling into, let's just have a nice chat and let's share about our burnout experiences to try and make you feel better. And I also know that some of you are completely ignoring that burnout is in the room with your clients, and your lack of being burnout aware or burnout informed is then pushing your clients deeper into a place and a state of burnout. So why is it important that you are on your own road to recovery? So I want to talk to you about 2015 and 2016. And all of the businesses that I started, right? All of the businesses that I started. So I reached burnout in 2013, my first burnout in 2013. I didn't know it was burnout. I didn't acknowledge it was burnout. I had to have two operations in 48 hours as a result of the physical impact that burnout had had on my health. The two consultants that I saw, so two operations in 48 hours, two different hospitals, two different consultants. Both of those consultants said to me when I went back for my follow-up appointments, speaking to me about stress levels and this thing called burnout. Burnout didn't happen to the people like me, right? I told them both, they did not know what they were talking about. Honestly, told these two medical consultants, when they use this word, stress and burnout, told them they did not know what they were talking about. A couple of years later, turns out it was burnout, and that one had made me really seriously ill. I didn't know what burnout was then. I hadn't really heard of the word burnout. As I said, these two consultants, I did begin to acknowledge that, yes, it was probably stress. It was as a result of a very, very toxic workplace that I was in. It was a result of very toxic relationships at the exec level of the table that I sat around that had contributed to this debilitating, overwhelming, horrible, toxic environment and this period of severe stress. This organisation that had made me really seriously ill. So that was 2013. At the beginning of 2014, having gone back into this toxic workplace for a few months, I realised this was not where I wanted to be. I started looking for jobs. All of the jobs looked exactly the same. And again, this is a tell. If you are employed and you're wondering, do I go back to work after burnout? Do I look for another job or do I start my own business? If you start to look for jobs and they all look exactly the same as each other, you think, well, I'll just start my own business. It's easier. That might be a tell, because actually, whilst some people out there glamorise running your own business, there's no, you know, where's your next client coming from? Where's the consistent income? The constant marketing, the constant showing up, the constant looking for clients, the referrals that we rely on, all of the stuff that we have to do that's around the delivery, right? If anybody's out there making this stuff look easy, really it's not. Now, for some of us, of course, when we get established, clients come to us, it feels like kind of out of the blue, but of course they're coming because we're still showing up. They're coming through referrals. They're coming because we're being spoken about or we're being seen. But it's not an overnight, I'll just start my business and everything's going to be fine. Now, I didn't start my business because of burnout. I started my business because all of the jobs looked exactly as toxic as the one that I was walking away from. But it was during when I was completing my exec coaching qualification, my executive coaching qualification, that I heard myself say I was going to start my own business. So that's what I did. Now, it wasn't just like I'm going to quit, although that is exactly what I ended up doing. But I'd gone home after this coaching day. I said to my then husband, my ex-husband, I'll start my own business. worked out what it is I'm going to do. I'm going to be executive coach. This is what I'm going to do. And I was the main breadwinner. We just spent every single last penny that we had on buying and renovating a house. And I earn probably six times probably more than he did. And he's like, well, we have to wait a couple of years because we need a financial cushion. And I did know that he was right, but actually I couldn't survive in that environment for another couple of years. And I knew instinctively, I knew that I also couldn't go into another job that would be the same as the one that I just left and stick that out for another couple of years. I did carry on looking for a while, thinking something will come up, right? So something will come up soon, I'll get out of this one. But actually, 3 months later, I had resigned, had handed my notice in, and I started my business with no financial cushion whatsoever. And I just knew that I'd need to make it work. Now, what I was really good at was a lot of the change management, the transformational stuff, the HR strategy, the HR transformation stuff that I was doing. And so I set up my company. I was going to do people and change, and I knew the business was going to be bigger than me. So I didn't, it wasn't like Kelly's, although I was married at the time, but it wasn't Kelly Swindler Consulting. I knew it would be bigger than me. Within a month, I'd started working with clients. I got some, great contracts straight away, earned some really good money during that first year. Everything looked fine. And then it wasn't. By the end of that year, not only like a year before if I walked away from my job, but my marriage ended. I left the house that I'd been living in with my husband and children. My sons and I moved. I wasn't in the right space to be really setting up a new house. I wasn't really in the right space to be leaving everything and all the familiarity. And then I started a new relationship quite quickly. And then not just did I have my sons, but also his sons as well. And then he came to join me in the business because the business was growing so quickly. And then we started to grow the team really quickly. And all this stuff was just kind of happening. And I was just working, 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 working. And then my second burnout, 2 years after the first, this one nearly killed me. But I'd started to do lots of training because I wanted to understand stress more, not necessarily understand this burnout thing. But I wanted to understand stress more because I could tell I had digestive issues. I'd started to experience even more kind of women's health issues. How had this stress started to impact my gut? Why was it impacting my sleep? Why was it impacting my confidence? What I was noticing, like decision making, was an absolute nightmare. But I kept doing this training. I think I've spoken about this in some of the previous episodes. Like I wanted to just train and learn because I thought if I knew more about it, then I could help more people. I'd understand it more for myself, but I'd also be able to help even more people. So I studied and qualified in hypnotherapy, and I'd started, psychotherapy training and training to be a psychotherapist. And I was soaking up all of the information that I could about stress. And then I was recognizing how my yoga was helping and the philosophy of yoga, not just the asana, the movement of yoga, but the philosophy of it and the calmness of it and things called the yamas and the niyamas, which are almost like 10 principles of how we live and understanding how they can make us whole and understanding energy bodies. And I was learning Reiki to understand energy. And I was learning as part of my yoga qualifications, I was learning more about physiology and anatomy and the impact of stress on our body. And as part of my hypnotherapy and psychotherapy qualifications, I touched on neuroscience. So I wanted to understand more about neuroscience, and the neuroscience felt like the missing piece of the puzzle. So I wanted to then understand more about the hormones and how stress hormones and all that kind of stuff can impact the body. And then I was doing firewalk training, and I was doing empowerment coach training and learning, techniques like board breaks and glass walks and arrow breaks and fire walking. So I thought I could include that in lots of my coaching, and I can bring all of this in. But every time I learned something new, it was like, well, that's the business then, all right? Or I need to include that in the business. So I'll just be a hypnotherapist. No, I'm just going to do psychotherapy. No, I'm going to be a yoga teacher. Then I started a business that was called the Career Women's Collective. I registered the domain, I set up a website, I got in contact with some amazing women that I knew at the time that were helping with legal stuff and branding and photography and colour and style and other different kind of coaching techniques and business builders, and contacted them to start this company with me. And it was going to be Career Women's Collective, and we were going to help women to like improve their personal brand and do all this stuff. But I wanted to include a lot of the empowerment techniques and the mindset stuff to be able to help them. And then because that didn't land very well. So I thought, well, okay, so I'll just finish. I'll keep doing my people and change stuff, but I'll change how I do that. And I want to incorporate some of the kind of learnings and stuff that I'd been learning from yoga. But I couldn't see how you'd put yoga into like corporate change. So then that kind of sent me spiraling. So then I thought, well, I'll be almost like a holistic kind of coach and incorporate the yoga and the Reiki and the learning and the empowerment stuff. And I can do events and I can do coaching and I can do group programs and I can do day retreats and I can do day programs. And actually that feels a little bit too overwhelming to be one business. So if I split that, I could have events as one business and coaching as another. And then I could do like a network of and a community of coaching. And I just kept flitting. Again, this is something that burnout does to us. Now, I was still delivering in my People and Change consultancy. That business was still growing. The team was still growing. The clients were still growing. I was doing lots of delivery. I was bringing in associates. We were earning money. We were making change. But even as I started to notice within that company, that was an award-winning, multi-six-figure People and Change consultancy, I couldn't quite decide or define what it was that we were doing. Because the People and Change stuff, the transformation, the HR transformation, the culture transformation, the kind of strategic stuff that I was working with boards and exec teams with, and the stuff that I was helping HR teams, all of that stuff was making tons of money. And yet I kept adding on, let's do the yoga, let's do the coaching, let's do events, and I was talking about, was being asked to speak more on podcasts. I was writing for magazines. I was a contributor for one magazine in the US and one magazine in Australia, talking about like holistic leadership and what that needed to look like. And I was doing the coaching and I was doing group programs and I was doing retreats and I was still doing the People and Change stuff. And I'm talking about burnout every day and more people wanted me to talk about burnout. And then I wanted HR professionals to not experience the burnout that I'd experienced. So I created the world's first mental wellbeing for HR program that, again, I was delivering online and was delivering all around the world. And I was training associates to also deliver that into businesses and to be able to go off and deliver that on their own. Then I was being asked to do more wellbeing for HR programs. And some organisations didn't just want the programme for their HR teams. They wanted it for their engagement champions. They wanted it for their exec teams. They wanted it for their boards. They wanted it for their leaders. They wanted it for their managers. They wanted it for their frontline staff. Then we were kind of being asked, could you do some e-learning module? Yeah, we'll do e-learning modules. And it was almost like I just kept losing myself. And not because like money was an issue, but because my decision making was hindered, and because with all these businesses, I'd gone deep into burnout number two, and that burnout nearly killed me. My body was on such high alert that I just couldn't make a decision, that I couldn't move. And every time I worked with a coach or I did a program to try and heal myself, I need that for my clients. And on and on and on and on it came. So everything I learned, I wanted to deliver for clients. It helped me, so it must help them too. Every single program, every single training, every single thing that I did, I was then trying to incorporate into either the existing business that I was having and realising that it didn't fit into the existing business, then going and creating new businesses. And with each of those new businesses, was setting it up on company's house, registering domains, buying domains, setting up new websites, taking new pictures, doing new branding, new logos, over and over and over and over and over and over. Every single one of them, new business, new branding, new registration. And I kept thinking, this will be the one, right? This will be the one. But I didn't have the energy or the clarity or the confidence to see anything through. I was brilliant at having the idea and starting it. But when it came to actually the follow through and doing it, I didn't have that in me. What I could still do really easily was the consultancy. The stuff that was paying me lots of money wasn't lighting me up. But again, I just walked out of my marriage, didn't have any financial security. My marriage actually bankrupt me. I ended up becoming bankrupt as a result of my marriage. Thank you very much to my ex-husband. It put me in shit. My new partner had then come to join me in the business. So this was our income. This was how we were supporting our family. The business was then also responsible for paying the salaries of my team that I was growing. So not only did I need to cover my own salary, but we needed to cover two salaries to keep our house going and then more salaries because we kept growing the team. But outside of doing the consultancy, outside of building the business, outside of doing all this stuff, I'm literally creating what felt like kind of every week, new business idea, new business idea, new business idea. I'd read a book and think, oh my God, that's brilliant. I need to go and do that. That's exactly what we need to do. There's a new model. There's a new framework. There's a new something. Let me bring that into the business. Let me do that. Let me do that. Let me do that. Now, I know now that's as a result of burnout. I understand the neuroscience enough now, not just from a logical, practical perspective, but I've seen it play out in the over 700 clients that I've coached through burnout. Reading it is one thing. Seeing it, experiencing it, coming through the other side of it, recognizing it in yourself is very, very different. So I suppose my plea for you today, firstly, is if you're not a burnout-informed coach, you need to be. Because if my coaches, when I was in corporate, and the business coaches that I started to work with when I came out, if any of those had been burnout informed, I know I would have been able to avoid burnout one and burnout two. The first burnout that made me seriously ill, the second one that nearly killed me. I know for a fact that life would look very, 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 very different if my coaches had been able to spot it and had been able to coach me differently, instead of coaching me into burnout. So my first plea is, if you're not burnout informed, you need to be. My second is, if you have experienced burnout and you're then going through the motions of, I now need to stop anybody else from going through this and I need all the training and all of the qualifications, I've got to start doing this again and again and again and again and again. My plea for you, so that you don't make the same mistake I did, is to invest that time and that energy and that money on your own healing and recovery before you then attempt to help others to heal and recover. Because actually, if you can do it that way round, the benefits then that you will make to yourself first and foremost, and then either in your career and or with clients that you choose to work with, will be transformed. And I say this from the place of having coached over 700 leaders through burnout and having coached or trained burnout-informed coaches from 16 countries around the world. I know that we can do better, but we have to do better for ourselves first. We have to start with our own recovery first. We have to start moving ourselves forward in the right way. Because all of that flitting, all of that jumping from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing, that's burnout. That's what burnout does to your brain. That's what burnout does to your body. So if you can start to override that, heal yourself first, recover first, or at least start to move through that. We know that burnout recovery can take years. But at least get yourself from a place of being calm and grounded. Get yourself from a place of having the clarity, the calm and the confidence before you then start attempting to go and fix and heal others and stop burnout from spreading all around the world and doing all of the damage that it's doing. The change has to start with you first. That has been this episode of Burnoutology. I will be back with you for our final episode of 2025 next week, 7 a.m. UK time. Go and have an amazing week. Again, like if you've got questions, ask the questions. But if you know someone that might find this episode useful, please give it a share, give it a like, give it a comment. And I'll be back with you again next week, 7 a.m. Take care for now. Bye-bye.